When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I've been harping on this for weeks. Tackle was always the priority on the South side. That being said, happy Football Friday here on the South Side Beat. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Chris Halleck, flying solo again today. Don't worry, Corey is working. He's not just sitting around doing nothing. He covered the Pirates yesterday, which is why he wasn't here, and he's not here again today because guess what? He's going to be on the South Side. He's probably already there because he's covering the press conference, which begins in 1 hour, of the Steelers' first-round pick, offensive tackle out of Washington, Troy Fautanu. Yes, that is the correct way to say his last name, Fautanu. He said it last night. So Corey's going to have plenty of that, 4 PM Eastern. He's addressing, I know, obviously Ramon show, you know, today, I think the Ramon show is still going on today, but definitely keep tabs on our Steelers feed and DK Pittsburgh Sports.com. It's going to be all, everything from that Fautanu press conference is going to be there. So make sure that you're, keeping up with that. But, yeah, before we get going, though, I really just want to hammer this home here. Tackle was always the priority. I've been saying it for weeks. I don't say things because that's what I think. I say things because that's what I know. I knew from the people I talked to at the NFL annual meeting, I knew right then and there tackle was going to be the way to go. And that was going to be the position that they were going to prioritize. And that's what happened. And if you need any proof of it, look who else was on the board when the Steelers picked Fautanu. Graham Barton, any center, still there. Any cornerback, Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, they're all there. Didn't take them. They went with the tackle. Even though it wasn't the biggest need on the team, receiver is a bigger need. Center is a bigger need. But they went with tackle. Now, I do think part of that is just because of who the player is. Because it's Troy Fautanu. And I do, and Rick says it here, I think it was the first 15 picks, if I'm not mistaken. No, it was first 14 picks that were all offense. 15 was the first defensive player, the one the Colts took Latu, the edge rusher out of UCLA. So, B-Phil says, I still cannot believe what the Falcons did. Neither can I. Six quarterbacks going. And listen, this is part of the draft process, because as the night is unfolding, and obviously, as you know, now granted, I was feeling really good about my mock draft until the Falcons picked, because even though I had had a mock trade between the Chargers and Titans, in which they swapped and still took tackles, my first seven players were in that order. So it's getting to eight. I'm like, maybe this is the first defensive player. That's what I have going. And they take Michael Penix Jr. I'm like, well, there goes my mock draft. It's done. But, you know, when different things like that happen, you're like, okay, that's good for the Steelers. If you're the Steelers, you want all six quarterbacks that were talked about going in the first round to go before you pick. And that's exactly what happened. They went the first 12 picks. That's awesome for the Steelers. With the way the draft board was falling, you know, it still got to the point for, at least in terms of tackle, it still got to the point in which I was, even whenever the Broncos got on the clock at 12, I think I even sent a message in our like company Slack, and I was like, this is where we need to start watching for trade-ups, like right here. It was that to me was the, because you knew the Saints were going to take a tackle. And by the time the Broncos were on the clock, the top three tackles were off the board. And I had been harping on this, that there were five tackles worth trading up for. And three of those five were already gone in the first 11 picks. And you know, 12 goes, they take Bo Nix. Okay. Understand that. The Raiders not being able to get Michael Penix Jr. I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's a trade up, a team you can trade up with, especially to get in front of the Saints. Because if the Steelers were really as high on Fuaga as I thought they might have been, I knew they loved him, but the question was how much do they love him? And if they want to try to trade up in front of the Saints, make sure they get their guy, then maybe they, you know, figure something out. That obviously didn't happen. So they may have really loved Fuaga, but not enough to trade up, to give up the capital it would have taken to get up that high in the draft to get him. And so they obviously let that go. The Raiders, you know, take Brock Bowers. Then the Saints take Fuaga. And so at that point, I think, you know, you could, if, and so this is why I'm saying, like, you don't handcuff yourself to one position. Like, if you're Omar Khan and Andy Weidel and all those guys, you don't handcuff yourself to, hey, let's just look for a tackle tonight. Like, no. Especially with the way the board was falling, like, listen, if tackle doesn't work out, we're going to get a really good player. We're going to get Graham Barton. Shoot, by the time that we pick, even if Graham Barton's off the clock, we may get the pick of the litter when it comes to cornerback. They could have gotten Quinyon Mitchell. They could have gotten Terrion Arnold. They could have gotten themselves a legitimate cornerback to play opposite Joey Porter Jr. That would have been a heck of a pick if offensive line didn't work out. They could have gotten a receiver and Brian Thomas Jr. Like they could have. They were going to walk away with a good pick last night at 20 and not have to do that. And that's essentially what you really want to have to do. You would love to be able to not have to give up trade capital in order to go get a guy you want. But when the board was falling the way it was, it's like, listen, we might not have to do anything. And then, of course, you know, defensive players started going off the board at 15, and then Bengals come up. And when the Bengals got on the clock, I'm like, okay, this is probably where another tackle is going. I assumed it was going to be Fautanu there because he was, at least for me, my top-rated tackle remaining, and they took Amarius Mims. So at that point, I'm like, thank you. Like if you're the Steelers, I'm like, thank you very much. Like I would have had Fautanu rated higher than Mims. And it's not because I don't think Mims has a high ceiling. He does. It's just the lack of experience mixed with some injury history. I'm not as concerned nearly about the injury history when it comes to Mims as I am the lack of experience. And Jordan says they took Mims because of Watt. Yeah, I don't think there's a tackle that can neutralize TJ Watt. I just don't. Like, I don't care how big he is. I don't care how athletic he is. I don't think that there's a guy. We're talking about TJ Watt here. It's not a question of, like, can you stop him? It's a question of how often can you slow him down? Like, that's the type of player TJ Watt is. Of course, they got to try. Of course, you can't just let him. Here you go. Ole! You just can't do that. But you know, Bengals take Mims. And at that point, you know, Omar Khan even said the 10 minutes that, you know, the Rams were on the clock, he said they were the longest 10 minutes of his life because Fautanu is just sitting right there. And I did like the six most likely candidates on the site. You'll probably go back and you read. You can be like, ha ha, Chris, you didn't even have Fautanu on there. It's because I didn't think he's going to be there. I didn't think he was going to be available at 20. My one trade up candidate was Fuaga. They didn't trade up at all. And so I'm thinking, you know, if you're standing pat at 20, that probably Graham Barton was going to be the most likely candidate there. And Fautanu falling to them at 20, man, like watching the tape, by the way, I've got a monster I'm about to finish off here. I don't know if I can show logos. I don't want to do that. And I've got a Mountain Dew that I'm going to crack open as soon as I'm done with this monster. Cause I got to bed at 4 a.m. last night because I was watching a lot of Troy Fautanu tape. Not that I hadn't done any homework on him, but I really wanted to give you guys a good chalk talk, which is up on the site right now. Go read it. It's the tape is amazing. And when Mike Tomlin was interjecting even to questions he wasn't being asked. Like DK asked a question at the press conference last night, and after Omar answered, just Tomlin interjects unsolicitedly. Just go watch the tape. And for me, that's like, all right, I'm going to pull up the tape. I'm going to watch it. And yeah, watching it. I watched about three games worth last night. It was impressive. The dude does not move like a tackle. He moves. His footwork is amazing. His hand, what he does with his hands is so good. He is already so developed as a pass protector. Really, a lot of the stuff that you have to work with him is just cleaning up some stuff, cleaning up some technique stuff. It's not really, this is not an Amarius Mims situation in which you're going to have to coach this guy up. This is a guy who really has a solid chance of becoming a day one starter. He's that developed, that polished already, especially in pass protection. He's a better pass protector now, I think, than Broderick Jones is. Like, I don't think that's hyperbole either. Like, and that's even with a year under Broderick Jones's belt. I might be, you know, Broderick might hear that and be like, all right, I'll show you. but I do think that Broderick will be best served over back on the left side, and then Fautanu moving over to the right side. I know he played left side at Washington. But remember, he was the front side tackle there because Michael Penix Jr. is a left-handed quarterback. So he was the front side tackle in Washington's offense. He moves over to the right side. He's going to be the front side tackle in Pittsburgh because obviously all of the quarterbacks that they have are right-handed. So, Jordan says Jones made some wrong side mistakes last season. Yeah, like Jones was already, like, even coming out of college, we all knew, anybody who really did any homework on Broderick Jones knew that he was a more accomplished and polished run blocker than he was in pass protection. And so I expected to see some growing pains when it came to pass protection. But the thing is that whenever in the very, very small sample size that he did play on the left side in the two games against Houston and Baltimore, that he did play left side, he didn't give up a sack. Now, again, that's two games. It's a very small sample size. Very, very small sample size. So don't, like, go off and be like, oh, well, you know, hey, you just say Broderick Jones is already way better. No, come on. Like, there's going to be growing pains there, too, because he's a more accomplished run blocker than he is in pass protection. But he will be best served on the left side. He just is. Let's get to some comments here, but I really just wanted, like, tackle was always going to be the priority. If there was a way that they could get one, they got one. Some luck help played out when it came to the way the draft board fell. I didn't think they stood a chance of getting Fautanu without having to trade up. They got him without having to trade up. He fell in their laps at 20. To me, it's a slam dunk pick. I don't care if there are positions that are more pressing needs. Yes, there are. I'm very much in agreement that center is a bigger need. That receiver is a bigger need. You're not drafting in the first round to address your biggest need. You're drafting in the first round to get the best football player you can possibly get for an appropriate position on your roster. And tackle is 100% a position that they could afford to upgrade, especially since Dan Moore is going into the last year of his contract. So To me, they have, as Joshua said it here earlier in the show, bookends are set for years to come. Agreed. And they're cost effective for the next three seasons. That's phenomenal. For the next three seasons, they could have really, really good bookends and be paying them on their rookie contracts. Phenomenal. Tony asks, do you know anything about his injury? Sarge just joined. So I didn't do a lot of digging on his history. I did a little bit. He had an ACL thing. He had a Lisfranc injury too. He shot down. I mean, the Steelers shot down any medical concerns, and he shot down. He said the knee hasn't bothered him in years. So you can read a bunch of stuff about, like, you know, I think it was like Sports Illustrated or somebody had reported that, you know, the knee issue was going to make Faltanu fall, and he did end up falling. But the Steelers aren't concerned about it. So, and they're not like reading off of things, reading somebody else's work and being like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. Like, no, they had Faltanu in for a pre-draft visit. They would have done their own medicals on him. They're going to feel good about his health based off of their own testing. So I don't think injuries are that big of a, honestly, to me, the biggest concern when it comes to Faltanu is that lack of size. This is why this is still a slam dunk pick to me, because I think I even mentioned this talking about Faltanu before on the show. Even if he doesn't work out at tackle, if the lack of size just does happen to end up being too much for him to overcome at the NFL level, even if it still does, he can always move inside to guard. There's another guy on the offensive line whose contract, who's going to the last year of his contract, and that's James Daniels. Maybe, just maybe, if they aren't satisfied with Faltanu at what he does at tackle, they can always move him inside to guard. And my God, that dude could be an absolute mauler at guard. So I don't, to me, this is, and Joshua says, like, listen, 6'4", 300 plus is not small. No, he's not small. I do like the fact that Mike Tomlin, when he was asked about like the height, you know, cause he's like 2/8 of an inch or like a quarter of an inch or like something like a less than a quarter of an inch, shorter than 6'4". Like if he's, you know, a quarter of an inch taller, people aren't asking questions about it. And yes, like it's not like he's some sort of small dude or he's got like terrible length or something like that. Just you look at some of the other tackles in the league that typically have success, they're usually a little bit bigger. But I do think that if Faltanu can find ways to get a little stronger in his base, the size won't matter. And if anything, he can get better leverage being a little shorter. A little. And Brian says it here, long arms make up for height. Height doesn't matter as much. I agree. And he's got over 34-inch arms. He's got long enough arms. So I'm not concerned about it. I'm just saying if tackle for whatever reason, size, technique, whatever, does not work out, you can always move him inside to guard because you have a guy who's going into the last year of his contract at guard as well. So I think, and Joshua says here he's longer than Fuaga. And that's honestly why a lot of people probably had Faltanu higher than Fuaga on their board. I don't know if the Steelers would have had the pick of the litter, or I would say if in some sort of alternate universe, if they had the choice between Faltanu and Fuaga, I'd love to know the answer to that question. Because I know they loved Fuaga, and it's obviously very clear that they loved Faltanu, and for good reason, because at 20, it's a steal, in my opinion. But I'd be interested to find out the answer to that question, because I know they loved Fuaga. I think this is a heck of a pick. I would be hard-pressed to find somebody who really actually hates this pick, or even is disappointed in this pick. Like, I understand, like, you had, like, literally the pick of the litter at cornerback. Anybody you want. Terrion Arnold, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. Anybody you want. They were all there. Graham Barton. Jackson Powers Johnson. Both of those guys were there. Jackson Powers Johnson still on the board, and we'll get to tonight and then tomorrow here in just a few minutes. But they had pick of the litter when it comes to a lot of good players. So much so that I think a lot of people thought that they might trade down a couple spots, like possibly could have traded down with the Eagles. The Eagles could have gone up, got their cornerback that they would have wanted, and then the Steelers could have, you know, maybe acquired, you know, some capital and maybe trade down. Okay, Fautano didn't work out. Oh darn, we can still get Graham Barton. I don't know, but to me, I think that, and I like the fact that we saw some reinforcement from what both Omar and Tomlin said ahead of the draft. If you you don't trade away from good players. And when somebody as accomplished and as polished as Fautanu is falls into your lap, you don't trade away from him. You get your guy. The fact that they got him without even having to trade up is amazing in and of itself, because they can still go into tonight. And we can transition now. We can go into tonight with picks still 51, 84, 98. They're all still there. And Brent asks, what's your prediction for tonight? Before I answer that, I have to take a drink of something. A lot of talking, not enough caffeine. First off, I'm still tired. Prediction for tonight. It's a little difficult. I don't know about it. 51. What my prediction for tonight would be. I think since they didn't have to trade up in the first round, it would not surprise me if the Steelers tried to trade up tonight in the second round and get either Powers, Johnson, or Frazier. That would not surprise me. I do think the Steelers have a high emphasis on the trenches. The fact that both of them are on the board, shoot, like when Corey and I did one of our mock drafts on here, we ran into a situation in which, you know, both Powers Johnson and Frazier were both on the board in the second round. And between just Corey and I, we were like, well, let's just let this thing run until one of those guys goes off the board. And then once one of them is off the board, then let's start making phone calls. Let's start trying to possibly trade up, see what it would require to trade up to make sure we get their guy or to get our guy. And maybe that's what they do tonight. One prediction I do have for sure, and it's not necessarily Steelers related, is I do think there will be a lot more defensive players taken than just because there were so many offensive players taken in the first round last night. I think it swings back toward the defensive players. I'm going to pull up really quick I'm going to go to PFF's website because I like their draft tracker. To go to the best available still. There are so many good defensive players remaining. Obviously, Cooper DeJean is atop that list. Jerzon Newton out of Illinois, defensive tackle, still there. Kool-Aid McKinstry still there. Peyton Wilson, Tyler Newbin. Then you start to get into some cornerbacks. Sandra Stills there. Adisa Isaac's there. Braden Fisk, like Javon Bullard. Chris Jenkins. There are a lot of good defensive players, and I would be hard pressed to think that there isn't some sort of run of defensive players at some point tonight, whether that be right away or whether that maybe some, you know, offensive players that maybe should have gone in the first round get taken now. You know, maybe a couple of those guys go early, or maybe one of the centers like Powers Johnson or Frazier go early. And then all of a sudden there's just this run of like five or six picks in a row of defense, 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 defense. Like maybe that's a possibility. That's my main prediction tonight, is I think there's going to be a lot more defensive players that go. I don't know if the Steelers will be one of those teams. It could be at cornerback. My gut tells me they try to get either Powers Johnson or Frazier at center. And I don't, and again, to try to to try to instill a little bit of hope in you guys in case the Steelers don't get either one of those two guys tonight. There are centers down. There are two guys, one of which I think will be drafted tonight. Another could be, if he's not tonight, then early tomorrow. I think one of them is Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State. I think he goes in the third round tonight. And then Hunter Norzad out of Penn State can go probably early fourth, but I could even see him sneaking into the third, into the, like later stages of the third round, which is right where the Steelers are. They're at 98. So they're right there in the latter stages. And Jordan says Van Pran's there too. Yeah, I mean, there are guys that you can get in the third round in case Frazier or Powers Johnson don't work out. And listen, if it's a situation in which it's between Frazier and, let's just say, I don't think this happens. I really don't think this happens. But let's just say it's between Frazier and like Ladd McConkey. Oh, I have a hard time passing on Ladd McConkey, man. In terms of like better football player. Oh, man. I would have a hard time passing on Ladd McConkey. I don't think he falls to 51. That to me is a weirder things have happened. I didn't think Cooper DeJean was going to fall out of the first round. I didn't think Kool-Aid McKinstry was going to fall out of the first round. But yeah, Jordan says that's a tough call. It's a really, really tough call. Because you want to talk about a replacement for Deontay Johnson, Ladd McConkey is that guy. Holy crap, dude. That dude can run. That dude can change direction on a dime. Dude is so, so twitchy. I love it. But it's one of those situations. It's just like last night. Like, it almost doesn't matter who they would have taken at 20 last night. It was going to be a good pick. Fautanu, Graham Barton, Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, any of those guys, any of those four would have been in a vacuum. In a vacuum, if you were to tell a Steelers fan, guaranteed it's going to be one of those four guys, you'd have been like, I'm happy. Most fans would probably be like that. And Rick says it right here. I'd take McConkey and Norzad over Frazier and a lesser receiver. I'd agree with that. I would agree with that for me. Not that I think like Hunter Norzad is a day one starter. I don't, but could he possibly become starter before the season's over? It's possible. I think so. I watch a lot of Penn State. I grew up watching Penn State. My family, I had family members who went there and stuff. So I end up watching. So I know a little bit more about Norzad, but I think he could become a pretty solid center. I think for a third, if you could get him even near the end of the third round, I think that's a good pick, to be completely honest. Probably one of my favorite centers that's further down at that particular position. This is interesting. When Bob brings it up, Pearsall's pick looks like San Francisco is making room to drop a receiver at the pool. Hey, this is the other situation. If the 49ers are looking to unload either Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk, and it requires the Steelers to give up 51 and maybe another pick or a future third or future second or whatever, and you can get yourself a bona fide NFL receiver, I have a hard time passing that up too. So that's it was kind of the same thing. It's the same thing that I said last night with, like, if you tell me straight up 20th overall pick for Brandon Ayuk, I have a hard time saying no to that. But I don't like to go into hypotheticals in the past. I really don't. I would think, I don't think the first round could have gone any better for the Steelers, knowing what they were prioritizing, knowing that tackle was always going to be the priority, and they end up getting at the very, very, I mean, you could really make an argument that Fautanu was the fourth best tackle in the class. You could make an argument that he was better than Fuaga. I think it's close. I really liked both. I think all of those five tackles, like, to me, as I've been talking about all these tackles, because I knew it was going to be the priority, and lo and behold, they get it. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. I've been talking about the five tackles. Like, to me, it was those five. It was Joe Alt, JC Latham. This is no particular order. Joe Alt, JC Latham, Olufoshanu, Talisi Fuaga, and Troy Fautanu. It was those five. And then there was a drop, like, not a gigantic drop off, but there was a drop off. Then it was, you know, that group of, you know, Marius Mims and Tyler Guyton and, Morgan out of Arizona. So, like, it was, there were some good tackles later on. But to me, that there was a significant little gap. Like, it was those five. Like, if you were to separate them into tiers, like, those five were tier one. And then Mims and Guyton and like kind of led that second tier of tackles. Good picks, like, interesting picks, but probably more second round grade guys, if we're being completely honest, while those other five guys were first round caliber tackles. And B-Phil says, you know, so Mims was lesser now. I don't think I ever put Mims, like, higher than any of those other five guys. I don't ever remember saying that. Now, I had, like, Amarius Mims on, like, my list of, like, six most likely candidates because, again, if you were, like, twist my arm and say, who's more likely to be available at 20, Amarius Mims or Troy Fautanu? The easy answer to me was Mims. I think the Bengals made the wrong decision if they're just trying to decide between Mims and Fautanu. To me, Fautanu is the better tackle. I think they made the wrong decision. But that's me. That's my opinion. I don't think that Mims was, like, lesser. Again, I think Mims has the potential, and I wrote this even. Mims has the potential to be one of the best tackles in this class. The potential's there. The ceiling's there. His ceiling is massive. He's got insane size with really good size with insane length. And if he can figure out, like clean up some of the footwork, clean up some of the other stuff, like, dude, this dude could be, it could be a problem since he's with the Bengals. Like, he could be a problem. But the lack of experience is a bit of a red flag when you're talking about investing a first round pick or at least a top 20 pick in a tackle. When there's a little bit of uncertainty there, when the word project even gets loosely tied to a player, you get a little concerned. I think the term project's a bit unfair with Mims, but is there work? Who is going to require more coaching? Fautanu or Mims? There's not a question there. It's Mims. Mims is going to require more coaching. He is, to me, he's not a day one starter. He's got to come in. He's got to develop. You know, will he probably be their starting right tackle by the end of the season? Yeah, it's a really good possibility, but I don't think that he's a day one starter. And I think if they throw him into the deep end of the pool and make him their starting right tackle right away, I think that's a mistake. And that could end up really, you know, stunting his growth. I think with the way it fell last night, Fautanu was the perfect choice. I like this pick more than I liked Broderick Jones last year. This is probably, in terms of latest, like, first round, like, uses of first round, this is probably my favorite use of a first round pick since they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick, to be completely honest. Anything I'm saying, man, I'm not taking shots at you, man. Don't worry. I'm not taking shots at you. It's not like that. I think if the Steelers would have wound up with Mims last night, I don't think that's a terrible pick. It's just, it comes with a bit of concern. It would have come with a bit of, okay, love the upside here. It was kind of the same way with Artie Burns, you know, like the ceiling was there, you know? And so right when that pick was made, you're like, the ceiling's there, but he's got to kind of develop into it. And he never did. You know, it's that same way with Mims. You know, he's got to develop into that ceiling. If he does, if he develops and he lives up to that potential, slam dunk for the Bengals. Phenomenal pick. Steal at 18. He has that kind of potential. He has top 10 potential. As of right now, Fautanu was the better pick to me. So I think the Steelers ended up getting the better tackle. As we sit right now, we're not even 24 hours removed from the first round. A couple more, and then we probably have to wrap it up. A Tench fan says, would you trade up for Zach Frazier? It depends on how far. Into the 30s, probably not. That would require quite a bit, especially with the number of players that are still available. I think there's a solid chance that he's available at 51. If you're not sure and he's still there at 45 or 46, maybe go ahead. Maybe secure it, make sure you got him. I don't know. I don't think that it's worth that big of a trade up. Not with the number of good players that are still there. I mean, I can rattle off probably 10 players that are worth going ahead of him right now. Cooper DeJean, Jerzon Newton. I would even say Adonai Mitchell, but I think teams are maybe concerned about the maturity issues. But in terms of potential, I don't think that's a question. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey. That's already six. Could really make an argument for Adisa Isaac. Maybe even Braden Fisk. You know, teams are focusing on the trenches more and more often, man. I mean, Jordan Morgan made it up into the first round. You know, there's a good, I mean, like, I think there's a good chance he's still available at least in the 40s. I wouldn't trade up too far to get him. I would even say Powers Johnson probably goes before him. So, Bob asks, is there a way to fast forward 2.5 hours to the picks? If only. If only we could just, you know, have the click remote. But I think Adam Sandler all taught us a good lesson, and maybe having a remote to control time is not the best idea. That if that remote breaks, maybe our entire life passes us by. And sorry if you haven't seen the movie before. That's what I'm going to do. Play major spoiler tonight. Yeah. So yeah, Jordan says Morgan was a surprise too, but Atlanta drafting a quarterback is a head scratcher. I still don't. I understand. Like, if they were dead set, the only thing that I could possibly think, the more I've thought about it, and I haven't put that much thought into it, 'cause like I said, I was up until 4 a.m. working last night. Yeah, the only thing I can think is that there were multiple teams that were trying to trade into the top 10 to get him, the Raiders being one of them, and that the Falcons, even though they had just signed Kirk Cousins, were at a certain point in which they were like, we need to make sure we have some sort of insurance at quarterback. Now, I don't like using a first-round pick for insurance, personally. I still don't like the pick. I thought it could have been better utilized. But then my question at that point is, like, if you needed insurance at quarterback, then why did you give Kirk Cousins that type of money? That, to me, doesn't make sense. The two don't add up to me. If you would have signed Kirk Cousins to a more, you know, low-risk, high-reward type contract that didn't cost a fortune, okay, I can understand that a little bit more. But you invested a lot of, like, backed up a couple of Brinks trucks to the stadium to give them loads of cash. And now you're going to use the eighth overall pick on a quarterback. It just, it doesn't make sense to me. If they were to have traded back and still got their guy, still gotten Penix, then okay. At least they would have recouped some draft capital in the process. But it does not make sense to me. Does not make sense to me. Let's see. Yeah. You guys are funny, man. Sorry, I don't want there to be any dead here on there. A dead air on here. I can't even talk, man. I'm so tired. It's not even funny. Some people are night owls like that. I'm a night owl to a certain point. I get to a certain hour, man. I'm passing out. Like, I'm done at that point. Like, maybe when I was in my early 20s, I could do those nights where you're up until 4 or 5 in the morning. When you're 36, almost 37, not so much. Yeah, I think we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up. It was a really good show. To just kind of tie a bow on it. Really, really liked. I don't think this could have worked out any better for the Steelers. I really don't. Watching the film last night really just solidified it for me. I already knew he was really athletic, maybe even the most athletic tackle in the class. Watching his footwork, it's just phenomenal, man. His footwork's so good. For somebody who's as aggressive as he is and can be over-aggressive at times, he's very patient with his hands, and that to me is a sign of a really polished pass protector. Plus he plays the game. He never wants there to be a play in which he doesn't hit somebody. That's a Pittsburgh Steeler, in my opinion. Like that is a guy who fits the Pittsburgh Steeler mold. You know, I put a clip in the Chalk Talk last night, you know, in which, you know, he drops back, you know, and the edge rusher drops back into coverage. And so now he's literally got nobody. And so instead of just kind of going over and helping engage, he just looks at the defensive lineman who's engaged in a block to his right. And he completely pancakes him. He flattens him, just annihilates him. It was just like, dude, that to me, I'm like, you watch film, you're like, that's an offensive lineman right there. That's a dude who plays with some attitude. It's a great pick. Not here to try to hype anything up or make you guys overexcited for anything. For where the Steelers picked, the fact that they didn't have to trade up to get him, I think it's a phenomenal, phenomenal pick. I would be very, very happy with it if I were a fan. I would be very, very happy with it. I think you should be too. Be interesting to see how tonight plays out, because there are still some really good players on the board. I think I have my favorite five in our Steelers feed. If you haven't checked that out yet, with some honorable mentions in there too. Some really, really good players remaining. Be interesting to see if the Steelers try to find a way to get one of the two tackles left, like Jackson Powers Johnson or Zach Frazier. Be really interesting to see if they can figure out a way to get either one of those guys. I know that there's at least one guy, possibly even more inside the building, that really like Frazier. Same thing with Fuaga. How much are they willing to trade up to get him? If they are willing to trade up, how far? Rico, I can't ignore it, because you donated $20. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. But this is really got to be the very, very end of the show for me. Rico asks, so do you think they can get a quality center, receiver, corner, and D line with the next four picks? I'm gonna say the same thing that I've said when it comes to addressing positions. I don't think you have to. You should not. I'll put it this way: you should not handcuff yourself to. It has to be those four positions. You have to take the board as it falls. Yes, tackle was the priority for the Steelers last night, but Fautanu fell into their lap. To me, that's like an easy sprint to the podium. Thank you very much. You know, tip your cap. You say thank you to the other 19 teams. Things. Thank you for giving us this guy. I think they could get. I think in the second round with the players that are still there, whatever position they get, and I think it will be one of the first three you mentioned. I think it will be either center, receiver, or corner. I think any of those three positions at 51, they can get a really good player. I really do. There are some third round receivers I'm interested in. But I don't know. I don't know. I would think there's at least a couple of positions that I would say yes to, but defensive line for me is the big wild card, just because I'm not very big on this defensive line class. I mean, dude, Jerzon Newton still on the board. Like, yeah, it's not a great defensive line class. There are some players that I think are really interesting, but at 51, I don't think there's a defensive lineman that if it were between, you know, other than Newton, like you look at all the other defensive linemen around, and if it's between that defensive lineman or Roman Wilson, it's Roman Wilson. It's an easy choice. If it's Sandristil, I'm taking Sandristil. It's an easy choice. Like, they're better football players to me. I'm not big on this defensive line class. And thus, I don't like forcing myself into having to make a pick, you know, at a certain position. You just take it as the board falls, man. Maybe they get a little aggressive in the second round, especially with two really good centers there. I think they've set themselves up to have a really good second night of the draft. That's probably the best answer I can give for you. I think the way the board has fallen, and with their first round pick, that they have set themselves up to have a really good second night of the draft, especially since they have an extra third rounder in there too. All right, I really do have to wrap it up. Thank you guys so much. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the draft. We'll be back on Monday. There will be a day next week, I think, in which I will not be able to do the show because the roof will be getting replaced on my house. Hopefully. And if that happens, yes, there will be like noise, loudness not happening. So maybe Corey can do the show, but I won't be able to be. So I think there's going to be a day next week in which I won't be able to do it. So we'll see. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed last night. Enjoy tonight. Enjoy tomorrow. Have a great weekend. Catch you guys on the flippity flip. Peace out.